KazooFest 2018 is taking place April 11th to the 15th and will be bringing music and art to downtown Guelph. This year's festival features performances by Beverly Glenn Copeland, Faith Healer, Elcon, Claremont II, Doom Squad, Witch Prophet, Whoopso, and much more, as well as visual art by Kendra Yee, Ken Ogawa, Ben Grossman, JG, and more. And don't miss the Kazoo Print Expo on April 14th, as well as the Night Market on April 12th. All access crony passes are available on Ticketfly.com for $65. For more information, including venues, accessibility, and the full lineup, visit kazookazoo.ca. Don't miss Kazoo Fest 2018, April 11th to the 15th. Sound of light.
Hey, this is Hymns57 from Oral Tethers at CFRU. This is a special Kazoo podcast edition. We're about to sit down with Johnny Void out of Montreal on the label Constellation. And we're going to have a little chat, all things about inspiration, artistic process, etc. But before we do that, I thought we'd dig in to a track from his upcoming release, which is titled Misé en Abîmé. And he was kind enough to send along a track titled Safe House. So we'll open up the podcast with some brand new, unreleased Johnny Void. And when we come back, we'll sit down and have a conversation with our good friend, Johnny Void. Hymns57, and I'm in studio having a phone interview with the one and only Johnny Void. How are you, Johnny?
I'm good. How's you?
Things are really good. Things are good. Thank you very much for taking the time to chat with me this evening.
My pleasure.
So, kind of want to get a little bit of a background on Johnny Void before we kind of delve into the old pseudonym of Johnny Ripper, you immigrated to Montreal from France.
I did. So, yeah, I am from Lille, which is in the north of France. It's 10 minutes away from Belgium. And I moved to Montreal, I guess, 5 years ago, technically to do film studies.
Excellent, excellent. And what school were you going to for film?
I was going to Université de Montréal.
Oh, very nice, very nice.
Yeah, I feel like I kind of called it the Switzerland of the universities, because there seems to be so many wars between all the other universities, and UDN is like the peaceful one away from the others, so yeah.
Right. Funny, you mentioned you're 10 minutes away from Belgium. That's where I'm from.
Oh, yeah?
Yes, yes.
Where in Belgium?
Bruges.
Oh, nice. Bruges is amazing.
Yeah, yeah. And I actually, about a month ago, my wife and I took our two kids and we went back for a week. And it was my first time being home in 20 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
The winter with the fog and all that.
It was very nice. And it wasn't cold. It was about 1 degree Celsius most days and sunny. So for a place that's known for a lot of rain, it was nice to have some sunshine.
Yeah, but I feel like Bruges is the kind of place you can go in winter and summer, and it's completely different experiences, but really amazing.
Yeah, yeah, no, it was very, 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 very nice.
Yeah.
So you used to operate under the moniker of Johnny Ripper, and I guess a year or maybe 2 years ago, you took on the name Johnny Void.
Yeah.
What prompted you to make that change?
Well, so the origin of Johnny Ripper, that was my username on a Nine Inch Nails forum when I was 14. And that's basically where music started from. My two favorite bands at the time, Nine Inch Nails and Radiohead, both decided to release some multi-tracks of their songs. And so Nine Inch Nails had this like garage band version of their songs from their latest album. Having a MacBook and having GarageBand, I was like, wow, I can download this and just mix this song however I want it. So from there, I just started playing around with these multi-tracks, and from there I learned how to use a music software like GarageBand, which then led to Logic.
Right.
So yeah, at the time when I was bouncing my tracks, I would just use that username, Johnny Ripper. It's from a screamo band. It's from a song by the Blood Brothers.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was just like this name that just stuck because of the kind of this virtual persona username that people online saw me with, and I guess yeah, I was using it for 7 years, and the whole time thinking like I have to change this name at a point though. Like I feel like when I'm serious about music,
yeah,
I will change this name. And yeah, it took 8 years for the record label to approach me to be like, now probably is the good time to get rid of that username I've had since I'm 14.
So
that's it. So yeah, I went with Johnny Void. I was actually going to go with John Void at first, but everybody thought it was a reference to John Voight, the actor.
Right.
And he's like, it's not an actor I enjoy. He's like the only actor that appeared at Trump's inauguration. So I'm like, I clearly don't want it to be a reference to him. So yeah, I went with Johnny because it's kind of like Johnny, but then gender neutral. And
yes.
It sticks with a void, like the O and the I. So yeah, so that's the name change.
Yeah, now I think obviously a big fan of yours, but just as a listener in general, you know, you're right with the Johnny being this like great gender all-encompassing, very neutral name, but the void part kind of evokes this really nice, almost like darkness to it, which lends itself very well to your compositions.
For sure. I mean, that's it. There's always been this idea of non-physicality. Like that was actually my former Johnny Ripper that like many people saw that name and assumed like Jack the Ripper or like,
yeah.
No, it's more like an EDM kind of name than like some modern classical like soundtrack like composer. So yeah, it just seemed out of place, and definitely that like persona to it that is like, oh, I don't want people to think I'm a Ripper. So yeah, no, Void worked. The it's definitely a theme that's been there in my music for a long time, so it's nice to have that name, like that word is part of my personality now, but
yeah. So Johnny Void releases Selfless, and this is the first of your releases, I guess, to come out on a quote-unquote major label, yes?
On the record label, the physical release. That was definitely the first time.
Yeah, so congratulations on, this is a bit early, but congratulations on a one-year anniversary soon.
Oh, thank you, yeah, that's true.
That's very, very exciting. I think your anniversary comes up just after your kazoo performance here in Guelph.
I mean, it's May 5th, so yeah, like a few weeks after the kazoo performance.
Yeah, so you've been, from what I can gather, you've been touring this pretty extensively in the past year.
Yeah, I mean, I've been playing a lot of shows, I would say. Touring has been, I've been trying to play a lot of different places, and I feel like it's really just been Quebec and Ontario now. I've done lots of places, but definitely in the sense that I wasn't performing at all 3 years ago, I definitely, last year just went a bit crazy, and definitely around Selfless, I was performing once every 2 weeks, and that was way too much.
Right.
Yeah, that has been a big change in my music and my life. For 6 years, I'm never going to play a live show in my life, and now live shows seem to be my profession almost, so yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It's very, very, very exciting. You you recently, I guess in the last, maybe about 2 months ago, in Montreal, you played a show with William Basinski.
Oh, yeah, for Pop Montreal in September.
Yeah, yeah. How was that experience?
So the experience of having to deal with a festival of that size and... basically, they didn't read my rider before I showed up. So I have an audiovisual set, and I couldn't really have visuals. Like, I had to make up my own screen with, mic stands and a white sheet. So that was bizarre, and then I also, my playback for my computer wasn't in my monitor. So a really awkward, weird experience before the show, right before it happened. But totally paid off once I performed. I think it really got people that I didn't play an Indian set. I played, I did half and half. I did half Selfless and I did half ambient loop performance.
Yeah.
And I think that worked really well, that it wasn't just, just ambient, just loops. But there was still that aspect that, I was playing a gangster rap song at an Indian show, so not the most appropriate thing, but no, people seem to really, really struck people.
Yeah.
Because, William Basinski's set was amazing, but I just think it wasn't the right setting for it. I have a big issue with Indian music performances that just happen on stage, and you're just staring at the performance, and you're like, "This is not how ambient music is supposed to work. It's supposed to be a setting, an atmosphere. It's not just like a look at the person performing while they're just doing loops or like playing one note. It's like there's nothing really to see. So I feel like you should have played somewhere where people can lie on the floor and just." Eyes closed, and also where it's not also burning because the heat in that venue was insane. So, no, still a fun an experience that was worth it, but definitely, one of those, the opportunity is great. Like, oh my god, to play for William Basinski is amazing, but then the treatment you get from the industry is something I've been really vocal about.
Yeah, no, for sure. It's very interesting to hear your side of the story, because one of my best friends and coworker was in Montreal at that time, and went to that show. And when he came back, I was gushing, because I still haven't had the opportunity to see you live. So I'm very much looking forward to your performance at Kazoo Fest here in Guelph, which, before I continue, I'm going to let people know that Johnny Void will be playing Kazoo Fest It'll be at 10 Carden, 42 Carden Street, 10C. It's physically accessible. It's 9 p.m. It's all ages. It's licensed. It's $10. And this show, I believe, is going to be taking place on the Saturday, April the 14th.
Yep.
Right? And you are you're alongside a pretty cool lineup. It's Baby Cages, Johnny Void at 10:45, Special Costello, and Evan Gordon's Funhouse at 12:30 in the morning. And the live visuals for the evening will be performed by Guelph's own Versa, who are a fantastic team of not only musicians, but visual artists as well. So going back to my friend who was at your show, said that it was fantastic and actually described it as you doing this this half and half performance where, you know, the first half was very much recognizable pieces and movements and material from Selfless, but then you did this almost improv looping thing in the back half. But your visuals, I could be wrong, but was there like an overhead projector with a mason jar and some cuts from Poi Nakwatsi?
So I'm still debating if I'm going to do this for Kazoo, but I do have my own visuals for the set, and usually my specialty is like put a crystal glass on top of the lens, which it's really this one specific glass that just like fits perfectly on the lens and just does this frame that is like really abstract and circular. And I think I'll bring my crystal glass to the. I haven't been using it recently, but I feel like. If it's the first time for me playing in Guelph, then, so I do have this like crystal glass around the projections, which makes the circle frame can't really recognize what is being played on it. So that allows me to use videos from YouTube and stuff like that that no one will ever recognize what the source is. Usually the visual component of my set.
Very nice. Very nice. Now, I've listened to a lot of the Johnny Void stuff for the last for the last year or so, and I dug backwards into a lot of the Johnny Ripper catalog, and there's definitely a line in the sand. Do you know what I mean?
Between Johnny Ripper and Johnny Void?
Yeah.
Yes, I mean. I feel like it's really Selfless, though. There's definitely the so I feel like really what got me to do the, you know, go do a different style of I don't know. Basically, the problem I had with Johnny Ripper is that many people just started to assume I was a pianist or that I was a composer.
Right.
And that was a huge issue for me because it's like the whole point of my music is that I'm not this like composer, that I'm an outsider and I'm taking different sources. And it kind of felt like I was getting a bit pigeonholed where like in my Johnny Ripper albums, you know, there's still like dark experimental songs. But I was getting so many people that just assumed that I was always this like Jan Tiersen, Philip Glass kind of piano music, that then they would hear the experimental stuff and they're just like, oh, well, what is this? Like, I don't enjoy this. So it just felt like I was kind of stuck in this corner that, like, yeah, people just had expectations and ideas of my music that wasn't the case at all. And especially with live shows, it was, like, really hard dealing with that expectation of, like, oh, probably people listen to my music online, they see the amount of followers I have, and they expected me to show up with, like, a piano and, like, a full band or something like that. And it's like, no, it's just me and my laptop. It's always been that case. So I guess with Johnny Void, the one thing that really differentiated that is that I went with the full, like, it's sound editing. Like, I'm doing editing over composition. There's nothing I'm playing and, like, very going fully in that conceptual side.
Right.
But then the dark aspect, I'm like, that's really just Selfless. So I do have a new album that I guess will be out next year. In 2019, and that I feel like goes much more to that more melancholic, dreamy vibe that there was a lot in Johnny Ripper.
Right,
I feel
okay.
like Selfless was basically I just had to get a lot out of, like, it's a very cathartic album, and I wanted this kind of like crescendo, like build up. So I think is that as well. It's like, okay, it's my first release on the label, and there's all this like sorry about like my previous releases. I had to do something that is like completely different. I would I don't know. I guess fuck with people is what I'm
Yeah,
trying to.
no, for sure. I mean, and from someone who's kind of gone through a lot of metamorphosis in their own music, I'm going to tell you that I so much appreciate the amount of effort and fearlessness that you put into making the album Selfless.
Oh, thank you. I mean, yeah, it's definitely there's. It's one that I started working on even before knowing that Constellation accepted. And yeah, there was a lot of thought about like how do I represent this like really like modern catharsis, basically, of just like just seeing intense worldviews or just like that kind of I don't know dissociation aspect where you're just like oh how. Like, how am I part of all this? Like, how is this all happening around me? And like, I'm just here, like living. So yeah, no, it's definitely there's definitely. I feel like also compared to Johnny Ripper, the Johnny Ripper was very much like, I would just make 20, 30 songs like every 6 months and then just release them all online.
Right.
That's definitely something I've been thinking about of like the two last Johnny Ripper albums. And like, if I had taken a full year of just like accumulating those songs, I could have done something that was much more consistent. There would have been 12 songs and really like conceptually like but it was more like the just neurotic thing at the time of just being like, oh, I have all these songs, I just need to release them. And so that's it. It was like a lot of different songs that I was trying different things and all that. Whereas like I feel like Selfless is the first one where I really like thought about sequencing and like the progression and like what kind of genres would there be of, you know, it's really important for me that there's like rap and metal and like techno, because they're all genres of music that have like really helped me with catharsis and all that. And so it was like I wanted to represent those genres without just being like it's still like consistent in the full album that you can to like take the songs individually and be like, okay, these are the elements that inspired this and all that. So yeah, no, there's definitely that's another aspect that I'm definitely now like taking more of my time to think about things conceptually. But yeah, there's always that I never want to do the same kind of music over and over again. It's just like it's absurd. If you have a computer, it's like the impossibilities are infinite, and I don't understand people that just go like limit themselves to like, yeah, I make this genre of music. I'm literally only gonna make this BPM, these sounds and all that. And it's like you can do anything literally. Like it's so it's you know, I don't even think it's like groundbreaking that I'm doing these different genres. I'm like anyone can do that. It's like anyone can just you can do anything with a computer. There's no limits to what sounds you're using and how you're using them.
For sure.
So yeah.
Interesting. Now, this is just from my own curiosity. Has the usage of found sound and field recording, has that something that you've always been kind of working with or maybe been fascinated by?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, definitely. You know, what got me into music is listening to Burial, Boards of Canada, Forte, and samples. Like, it's really just samples that I would listen to Burial and just hear, you know, key sounds. I'm like, whoa, he's using actual like sounds of a key to make a beat from this, and that's like really the mentality that got me into it. Like, oh, you can just like use any sound you want and make music with that, and that editing, like sound editing approach that I took really originated from that. The reason recently it's been so like conceptually really restricted to editing, I think that's my film studies and doing sound editing and having access to like all these sound libraries now that I'm just like, I don't, why would I use software instruments when I can use all these like sounds, real life, like organic sounds and make everything from that. So yeah, I would still like compose a lot of elements in my old music, but now I'm just like, I'm just not interested in composition. I don't want to write a melody or chord progression. I am really about the editing. So it's evolved. It's like it's always been there, but it's definitely been in the last 2 years since like since film studies and being on Constellation that it's like, okay, Let's make the sound editing aspect like the most essential
Yeah.
element of my music.
Right. Now, when you are performing live, because I'm a big gear geek. What is your live setup like, and what's your kind of process in a live setting, as opposed to just kind of being at home in the studio working?
Well, this is the part where I'm gonna disappoint you. I'm really just minimalist with gear. I just have a Roland SP404 sampler, which is my main tool. I do loops on that and I'll affect them. And then I have a Chaos Pad effect processor. So it's like a chaos cylinder, but just without the sounds, it's just the effects. It's nice. It's I'm kind of getting I'm a bit over it now. I feel like it's really basically, but it's really physical and fun, and so that's the part I like having it live. But yeah, it's just my SP404 chaos pad and computer. I am like this isn't, you know, I've only been playing live shows for years, and for a year and a half I was only doing the SP404. Of like I try to have that mentality of like I will just stick to this piece of gear and do as much as I can with it before getting other things. So yeah, so it's really minimalist for now, but I feel like because of the visuals and because of the editing aspect, it's like it kind of justifies itself that, you know, I can't really do anything else. If I started affecting things too much, it just wouldn't be the same as having that whole. It's a really cinematic set. I would say it's not something that you look at me while you're like watching it.
Hence the visuals.
Yeah, kind of. And also, I do dance a lot, so I feel like if you're someone who really gets physically into music, that also helps.
So when you are performing live, I mean, I'm very, very familiar with the SP404. I've got the SP triple five.
Oh yeah,
And
I
I've
thought about getting that one next.
it's a lot of fun. And I've definitely played with a couple different forms of the Chaos Pad. So between those two pieces of gear and a laptop, I mean, it is an endless terrain of possibilities. That being said, do you find that your live set from show to show, is there this level of unpredictability to it? Is that something that you're kind of yearning for?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, basically, you know, it doesn't like sound always the same when I play it because of the effect processor. So, and definitely, like sometimes I'm much better at triggering loops and the white. So, you know, it's still that element that like it is the same set. I mean, I feel like recently I've been kind of taking songs out and adding new ones. So it's like a set that just keeps changing. But the problem is, there's really like a progression to it. There's really just like storyline that I can't really like start improvising and doing different sections. So I have been kind of getting into new gear, and I've also done some jam performances, like playing with other people. I did this Lux Mania performance recently for a festival in Montreal, and that was with Jessica Moss, Ylang Ylang, Robin of Big Wave, and Aura Kogan, who actually put together the festival. So I feel like that's where I've been trying out more like improvised in the moment things, just like jamming with people. And but as a Johnny Boyd performance, there's been a few where it's been a completely conceptual set, and I just did something that was like unique for that performance. But it's still like, you know, I am looking into like getting new gear that would allow me to do more in the moment things, and kind of having, you know, different sets that, depending on the setting, if it's somewhere where like it's more audio visual, then yeah, I would have the visual set. But then if it's somewhere that like it's more experimental improv music, then I could have a different set. So I'm still figuring things out. You know, it's been less than 2 years, but it's still nice. I think I still manage to play shows, so that's good. But
Good,
there's
yeah.
definitely much more intentions of doing something in the moment, like really live performance, instead of just kind of basically trying to do a cinematic performance in the show.
Yeah. You were mentioning earlier that you've got almost all of another album ready to go.
Yeah, it's pretty much done.
Is that something that's going to be released on Constellation again?
Yeah, I mean, they do have a really busy year this year, so it's not going to be for 2018, but I think 2018. I can't. It's not set in stone yet, so don't take my word for it.
Sure.
But it seems like yeah, to early 2019, this album will appear. So it's an album called yeah, I think I can talk about it already. It's an album called Mise en Abyme, and I feel like it's kind of the opposite of Surface in the sense that Surface was an out of body experience. This one is an inner body experience. This one is going inside yourself, like your inner self, and it's much more melancholic, toned down, selfless. There's still kind of that progression, like it builds up in intensity, but it's yeah, kind of yeah. I like saying that selfless as an emotional outlet is catharsis, and Mise en Abyme is melancholia. So I feel like it's gonna be an interesting one for Johnny Whipper fans. It's kind of back more to that sort of mood. The one really interesting aspect with this album, though, is that I hardly do any micro sampling, and that has always been like from my first songs, that has always been my signature sound of like the very cut up micro samples. So yeah, so this one has only one song that has like micro sampling in it.
So what was the purpose or the inspiration to move away from something that's been a staple in your craft?
Like Johnny Whipper albums, it used to always be like 20 songs, and it always kind of be this like half melancholic, like more like upbeat, like emotional, and then like a second side that was like darker and much more experimental. But I feel like here with Johnny Voices, it's like 12 songs. It's like these two albums could have been together, basically. Like they could have been just one big, like 20 song album. So they're not that different. Like, I mean, yes, I can understand that in sound they would seem, but conceptually they're still like related. But I'm just like someone that I need to play with expectations, basically. I can never content myself with being like, okay, now people like sing because I did Selfless, I'm just gonna keep doing these like really dark, intense albums. It's like no, like I'm gonna do the complete opposite, and then I'm gonna do the complete opposite of what I just did because it's just I don't know. I feel like if you're interested in music and sound, you're all about just exploration, and that's
Totally.
always been my staple. Just like it's I can't do like one kind of music. I can't just be like, oh, I'm an electronic artist. I'm just gonna do this genre because like coming from a really like soft thoughts and like perspective is like all I do is kind of like experimentations and accidents and a lot of things that I don't expect, and it's like I can't go in with that mentality of like I'm gonna make an album that sounds exactly like this or that has this this kind of sound. So it's a lot of unpredictability. I don't even plan in myself that look for Selfless is never like yeah there's gonna be a metal song on it. It's like it's just the occasion kind of came up to do it. So yeah.
Very nice. Leading up before Kazoo, do you have any live performances beforehand?
No, I think Kazoo is the next one. No, I played a show yesterday with Offworld, Constellation.
Sandro.
So yeah, that was really nice. And with Juacino, who are actually right here, right now. They were in the same room as them, but Juacino over at my place and coming. So it's really nice.
Nice. And do you have anything planned for the summertime?
Yeah. There's definitely a lot happening this summer. I am playing Sloney Festival. I'm actually hosting my own show for Sloney. For now, it's just me and Sarah Page, who will be playing a non-half performance. So yeah, there is that. There's the festival. I might be doing this Ontario tour with Lovecraft. There's definitely nothing is really set in stone right now that I can talk about, but
Sure.
no, there's definitely a lot planned. I'll be playing some shows here and there. Maybe even a Europe tour if I'm lucky this time, but worked last time. But yeah, this thing's planned.
Oh, very nice, very nice. So we've got we've got Johnny Void on the phone, and I gotta say it's an absolute treat and a pleasure to be able to spend some time chatting with him. He will be here in Guelph for Kazoo Fest 2018, Saturday, April the 14th. At 10C, 10 Carden, shared space at 42 Carden Street. It is a physically accessible location. Doors are at 9 p.m. It's all ages. It's licensed. It's $10. Opening up is Baby Cages at 10. Johnny Void at 10:45. Special Costello at 11:30. And Evan Gordon's Funhouse at 12:30 a.m. It's definitely going to be one of the big highlights of Kazoo this year. It's an extremely eclectic lineup, that's to say the least.
Yeah, I don't know. I've heard so much about Kazoo from my friends that have played there. I don't know how many times now, so I don't know. I'm really excited for it. I've never been to Guelph, so first time excited in Guelph.
Nice. Yeah, well, it's our downtown isn't as big as downtown Montreal, but the...
That's what I want. I don't want anything.
It definitely has like a little bit of an old world, especially in the architecture. There's a bit of like an old kind of European vibe to the architecture. So I'm sure you're going to feel very comfortable when you get here, and you will be welcomed and received with much love.
Oh, well, really looking forward to it.
Yeah, well, I appreciate you you taking the time today to sit down with us here and chat.
Yeah, and I guess I'll be seeing you in two weeks. Yeah, three weeks.
Yeah, about that. All right.
All right.
Thank you very much. Thank you.